This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and so is BOGO. Buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, Grace Curley Show Nation. Thank you for tuning in for another day of the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to get to. I read a piece today from the Wall Street Journal, and I thought it really hit the nail on the head with not only the Biden administration's problems, but this country's problem right now. And I'm going to read some of it. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I think you guys will really, really enjoy this. It's called Western Culture Elites Are Giving Away Lenin's Rope, and it's by Gerard Baker. It starts with a quote. The capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. That quote attributed to Lenin was a colorful metaphor for what Marxists call the internal contradictions of capitalism. Belief in the inherent inevitability of the West's imminent collapse sustained the Soviet communists right up to the moment in 1989 when their own system proved more self-annihilating than anything capitalism could muster. But the old maxim has taken on a new and more plausible form today. It was on display last week in the first encounter between President Biden's foreign policy team. I don't know if you guys saw that. That's Blinken and, you know, the woman with the purple hair, and there was some other people there, and the Chinese Communist Party. It was evident from the moment the two sides sat down that an emboldened Chinese leadership understands that the greatest ideological weapon and now holds in its increasingly existential struggle with America is the gleeful enthusiasm for self-destruction that characterizes so much of elite opinion in the U.S. That is, I'm going to translate here, that is to say, they don't need to do much because we are taking ourselves down. We're fighting each other. We are divided. And we're fighting each other about the silliest things most times, about pronouns and, you know, systematic racism and things that I'm not trying to say that racism is silly, but I'm just saying that this obsession with finding issues instead of trying to unite with each other is really going to be our downfall.
And we will cross this divide.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do have Bruce Springsteen in our corner, which should make you all feel better, I guess. All right, so back to this piece. When Yang Jiechi, the Communist Party's foreign affairs chief, lectured Secretary of State Antony Blinken about America's human rights record, its treatment of minorities, and its system's innate inequity, everything he said, this is the key, everything he said could have been lifted from the pages of the Democratic Party's presidential election platform, culled from Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper stories, or jotted down in a student's notes from lectures delivered daily at America's top universities. In fact, it probably was. In response, a visibly discomfited Mr. Blinken mumbled something barely coherent that at least America deals with its problems in the open. He then complained, like a bested debater, that his opponent had gone over his allotted time. The larger truth is that the people who control America's leading cultural institutions, and now its government, that's the Biden administration, have been eagerly manufacturing ideological rope for the Chinese hangman, and they've stepped up production over the past year. The intellectual movement to which they subscribe has been the force behind the planned destruction of the principal pillars of America's authority in the world. The idea that the greatest nation on the planet was founded on universal ideals of human freedom and dignity. And I just want to cut in here and say, that is something that has become more and more obvious that Democrats don't believe. And it didn't just start this past year. It didn't start with Joe Biden. I mean, Andrew Cuomo, people are acting all surprised now that he's this bad guy. But a few years ago, he said, America was never that great. Things that I'm a 28-year-old, and I would never say something like that. Because I've met guys. You know, there's a guy right now who's a fan of the show, Roscoe, and he's not feeling great. And he came into the studio for a VIP. He's a Purple Heart, fought in Vietnam. And I remember thinking, wow, it's you know, regular people you see all the time are so remarkable in this country. But the politicians we have, they don't see that. And they don't believe it. And it's, you start to understand why we're in so much trouble. Instead, it insists, like those Chinese communists, that all along this claim to a unique status in the world has been a fraud. Mere sloganeering behind which America has been and remains a force for repression and exploitation. How can a nation prevail in a global ideological struggle when its leaders believe its values are intrinsically evil? Mr. Yang and his colleagues must have had a good laugh on their way back to Beijing. This isn't about the maternity flight suits for fighter pilots or updated requirements for army hairstyles that the commander-in-chief proudly hailed earlier this month. If you guys missed that, Joe was really giving a strange take on the military. He was talking about maternity flight suits and different hairdos. And that's what sparked Tucker Carlson to say, hey, don't we have to worry about, you know, like China? Shouldn't we not be worried about pregnant women in maternity suits? And that's when our government really stepped in, because that was, you know, over the line for them. It's about the elevation of victimhood as the prime signifier of honor in modern America. Whether you're an opportunistic young hoodlum looting Gucci or a member of the celebrity plutocracy seeking better publicity, don the mantle of a hapless innocent exploited by an inherently unjust system and you're golden. It's hard to imagine a successful society in which the claim to being the victim of some oppressor is the quickest route to advancement. And he goes on to explain how in a lot of these inner cities, Democrats don't want really bright kids to succeed. So they're leveling down. They're making everything, you know, easier. The Chinese have proved much more adept than their Russian predecessors at adapting the precepts of Marxism. As Lenin predicted, they've had plenty of help from American capitalists in the process. But our cultural elites have also been busy exporting the hangman's rope from across the Pacific. At least the capitalists have been selling it to them. Much of modern America seems intent on giving it away. I think that every day I have to look at all these news stories, and I'm very blessed that I get to do this for a job, but you know, you see every day, like for example, from the Daily Caller today, County Social Justice Commission starts tense with unannounced equity pledge. This woman, Chantel Rock, first of all, she wanted to limit the commissioner's speaking time to just 3 minutes. And then she proceeded to urge the commissioners and those present in the audience to join her in reciting the equity pledge. You know what they used to recite during that time? The Pledge of Allegiance. And that's another thing. We've become obsessed with talking about the things that make us different instead of the things that bring us together. Ugh, I don't know what else to say. I mean, and then they come into this meeting, the Chinese come into this meeting, and they sit down with Anthony Blinken and they say, well, you're going to lecture us on human rights? You guys, Black Lives Matter protests and, you know, and they list everything that the Democrats talk about all the time. And all of a sudden the Democrats are like, whoa, we just say that on our, you know, we just say that on our ads. We don't really believe that. But it's too bad, you know? They're playing the game. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Love the show.
Thank you.
My talk is about Kamala Harris. They fired 5 people from the White House for smoking weed.
Yes.
Previously, because zero tolerance and they couldn't get top secret clearance.
Right.
Didn't she brag about smoking weed and listen to gangster rock on her, or gangster rap on when she was running for president?
Yeah, and actually, Bob, I'll do you one better. She inhaled, which was the big thing. And then she said, ha 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 That's my Kamala Harris. It needs some work, but we're getting there.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that one. That's too much for me. Guys, when we get back, we're going to do the poll question, and we got a couple more things to get to before we have producer's picks at 2:30. I'll tweet out that article if anyone wants to see it. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so darn good? It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks ages their steaks at least 21 days because that's the sweet spot. It's where the magic happens. You can try those mouth-watering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers Grill Pack. It includes four of their iconic and fork-tender Butcher's Cut filet mignons for ultra-juicy burgers. Every time I read this copy, my mouth starts watering. Four savory pork chops. Desserts, and so much more. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter Curly, that's C-U-R-L-E-Y, into the search bar for a special price on this Butcher's Bestsellers package. Plus, you'll get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers for free. Omaha Steaks has been the leader of gourmet steaks and food since 1917. No one comes close to matching the flavor, the tenderness, and the value of Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type keyword curly with an E in the search bar and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, you'll get four free chicken breasts and four burgers. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. We'll be back on the other side, guys. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You know what's crazy? There's always people you don't think have, like, fans. People have such a fall from grace, and you think, eh, they don't have any fans left. But they do. Governor Cuomo yesterday was getting into his car, and there was this lady, and she yelled, you know, I hope you're not resigning. Wait, I gotta find the... Oh, she yelled that he better stay. And I'm just thinking to myself, what's happening in her life that she is acting like the Beatles are walking by when Andrew Cuomo walks by? Did she not get the memo that he's not it anymore? That he's not the love gov? That he's like, he's not America's governor. He's America's creep right now. And she's still like, you better not go anywhere. We love you. He goes, I'm not going anywhere, darling.
We need you at the finish line.
You gotta stay here.
I'm staying.
You gotta get it, and we're still looking for our 11 o'clock report.
All right, I'm not going anywhere, darling.
I'm not going anywhere, darling. Was that his mom in disguise? I don't buy that. That was definitely someone in the Cuomo family. It's so strange. Guys, today's poll question is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Join a winning team. Apply in person on Saturday, April 3rd at the job fair at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro or online at AvivaTrattoria.com. I would suggest going in person because they are going to have food and prizes there. Many positions available with great incentives. They're wonderful people at Aviva Trattoria, and we love them here at the show. One, because they bring us delicious food, but also they're just incredibly kind. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Joe Biden will actually have a press conference Thursday?
I'm going to stick with no. How about no?
22% of the audience says yes, he will. Hmm. 78% say no.
22%. Okay. Jake, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jake.
Yes, Grace, let me give you a name. Nikita Khrushchev. He told our President Eisenhower that America was going to be destroyed from within. So that's Nikita Khrushchev. That's the guy that followed Stalin in the secession. And that was in the... mid-1950s.
And what do you think,
so
Jake?
This has been around.
Do you think that's true? Do you think our destruction is going to come from within?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at our universities now. If a professor says something that the Chinese investors do not approve of, how quick is that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have to look there. I just look at the issues that my generation really fights for, and some of them boggle my mind. Some of them I'm like, this is what you're worried about? Mr. Potato Head's gender? The person who's on the syrup bottle? Aren't you embarrassed? Don't you have other things to do?
Aren't you embarrassed?
It's just, it's cancel culture, and it's just a lack of common sense that I think is very pervasive right now in the United States, where we're forgetting that we're not giving people the benefit of the doubt. We always have we think everyone has the worst intentions. And a really great example of this actually is a razor company dropped sponsorship of Daily Wire after complaints from anonymous Twitter account with 9 followers. So this person tweeted at Harry's Razors that they were sponsoring Michael Knowles, who is from the Daily Wire. He's got a big following, and that they didn't like his content. He was spreading homophobic and transphobic content, which now it's like you really don't know what that means. You know, back in the day, you could say, oh, this person said something homophobic. And I would think, OK, well, you know, they said something, you know, maybe a gay slur. But now people twist things a lot. So you could just have a different opinion than someone and they could say, oh, you know, homophobic content, or, oh, racist, Islamophobic. So you can't take that at face value, first of all. I don't know a lot about Michael Knowles, but I know that this Twitter person with 9 followers might not be telling the 100% truth. Harry's tweets back, thanks for bringing this up. We condemn the views in this video, which are inexcusable and at odds with our longtime support of the LGBTQ plus community. We've ended our relationship with this show and are looking into our sponsorships to prevent any values misalignment going forward.
Where's the Twitter? Do you want to watch this video before you comment on it? Warning on that stuff.
Well, my whole thing is like, when do these companies start to say, listen, we're going based off of how many views it gets. We're advertising. We're trying to get the word out. Conservatives buy razors too. It's the old adage. It works every time. Sorry if it offends you, but don't watch the podcast. I hated this even when Republicans do this. Like when Republicans get mad at something and they go, oh, we're all going to boycott, you know, Coca-Cola, or we're all going to boycott. No, just let people have different opinions. If it bothers you that much, don't buy it anymore. But to start these online petitions and like grab your pitchforks is so lame. Go home and clean your house. Do something productive. You know, organize your desk. Start tweeting at Harry's Razors. And then you look at the guy, he's got 9 followers, and Harry's Razors is like, you got it, boss. We killed the contract. Never going back there again. We're so sorry we offended you, at Flying Soda Can 1. We're never going to disappoint you again. Just completely pathetic. I do want to play just one more sound cut here, Jared, before we go to break. And then on the other side, we will have producer's picks, which I know is everybody's favorite. Let's play Peter Ducey with Jen Psaki. I have not played this yet. Cut 10.
Where else in the country would it be okay to have 400 people in a space for 260 during the pandemic?
Well, again, Peter, we're closely following the CDC guidelines. That's why we're opening up additional facilities.
And then last one, I do want to play. We played a little bit of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick from Texas, but listen to this cut. This is cut 25.
If you can swim across, you can get across, and they greet you there and say, hey, hey, you're on your own. I mean, think about it. We're just letting them go into the country. We have no idea what their criminal background may be. We have no idea if they have COVID. We have no idea where they're going. This is ludicrous.
All right. You know what, Lieutenant Governor? Don't worry about the illegals coming in with COVID. Put on 3 masks. Sit in your house like the rest of us, okay? Hand sanitize. Keep washing your hands. And don't worry about this issue. Kamala Harris doesn't seem that worried about it. She's bringing a lot of levity to this terrible situation by cackling her way through the country. We'll be back with producer's picks, guys. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so there's been a lot of tweets that have not aged well over the last 24 hours. And that tends to happen when you make assumptions about a situation that you don't really have any facts on yet. But Ilhan Omar has really outdone herself. March 17th, she was talking about the story out of Atlanta, and she tweeted, "It isn't hard to understand why it's so normalized for law enforcement to protect the humanity of white mass murderers and their willingness to continually make excuses for them." And 1 hour ago, she tweeted, "The shooter's race or ethnicity seems front and center when they aren't white. Otherwise, it's just a mentally ill young man having a bad day. Narratives drive our responses to awful crimes committed against innocent people. Pay attention to these responses and who is targeted." So it's okay to talk about the race when she does it, but it's not okay to talk about the race when other people do it. Got it. Understood. This is woke America, if you haven't figured it out. Rules for thee, but not for me. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
This is the part of the show where Jared Diglio, my producer, picks his favorite stories, and he shares them with us. Jared, take it away.
All right, I will have a Star Trek / William Shatner free day for you today, Grace.
Oh, wow.
Happy Tuesday.
I thought you were about to lead with Star Trek and William Shatner. It's like, no more.
Do have a little PSA out of the gate. Fiat Chrysler, who makes the Ram heavy-duty diesel Ram truck, they are recalling the 2021 pickup, the model, because the pickup and chassis cab trucks have electrical heater relays that can short, overload, or in rare cases, cause fires. So if you bought a 2021 heavy-duty diesel Ram truck, check on the recall.
Wow.
Just to be safe.
Okay. Got it.
But a lot of contractors around here, a lot of people who need to carry a lot of equipment, a lot of trucks. So if you bought the diesel, check out the recall, just in case.
I love a good truck. I can't lie to you. I used to think trucks were kind of silly, because I feel like unless you really need it for work, people are always going to ask you to move stuff for them on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Can I borrow your truck? But after years of asking people to borrow their trucks, it'd be really nice to have a truck. Comes in handy.
Bad news for Kenny Chesney fans.
Oh, no, what?
Kenny Chesney announced yesterday that he will not be returning to Gillette Stadium this summer, and he is postponing the tour to 2022. He wrote, quote, "With all the progress being made around the pandemic, there is still too much unknown. We're moving to 2022, where I feel better about all of us, about us all being together safely," unquote.
Womp, womp.
All current tickets will be honored for the rescheduled date and showtime, though. So if you were going to go see Kenny Chesney at Gillette, sorry, pandemic pushed it off another year.
Yeah, we have a vaccine, and I don't understand this desire to keep moving the goalposts. Like, nothing's going to happen again normal. We got to wait another year. We have to break out of this. And I think it was David Marcus who said, it's not enough just to slink off out of these cages we've put around ourselves. We really have to shatter them, and we have to say, we're going back to normal life. The longer we wait, the worse it's going to get. And someone else said, I think it was a psychiatrist, she said, anxiety can be habit forming. And I read that and I thought, it's really true. You know, if you start to get really worried and you start an anxious habit, it can take over. And we've let this thing take over.
Also, more bad news for Dr. Oz fans, if there are any of you. I don't know if you saw this, Grace.
I did, because I watched Jeopardy every night.
Yes, Dr. Oz was among the, I think there were 5 or 6 people that were going to host Jeopardy in order to basically audition to take over for Alex Trebek.
And they already had Katie Couric for a few weeks, and they had, I think, the producer of Jeopardy for a few weeks, and this week was the first start of Dr. Oz. I watched the episode last night.
Well, 500 past Jeopardy contestants have petitioned the show to remove Dr. Oz as a guest host.
Once again, I go back to my point, which is, do we not have better things to do? Can people prioritize? Is nothing else on your to-do list than taking down Dr. Oz, who's hosting Jeopardy? By the way, just Jared, just to say, I did watch Jeopardy, and I watched. It's hard not to judge the hosts because Alex Trebek was obviously the best. Dr. Oz was not my favorite. There's a certain cadence that I like, and you know, enunciation. I know that's funny coming from me because I'm not great at enunciating, but I didn't think Dr. Oz hit the nail on the head. But I don't think he should be booted from it. Let him finish off like the week or something, whatever it is.
Yes, well, in a letter to Medium, the 500 people, former Jeopardy contestants, put on the petition that, quote, when we heard Dr. Mehmet Oz was slated to be a guest host, agreement came quickly. We were opposed. Dr. Oz stands in opposition to everything that Jeopardy stands for.
Oh, give me a break.
Throughout his nearly two decades on television, he has used his authority as a doctor to push harmful ideas on the American public, in stark contrast with his oath to first do no harm. Unquote.
Add this to the list of reasons we are becoming the softest country in the world. People need to figure out what is worth worrying about. The host of Jeopardy is not the host of Jeopardy. What was the other story I read today about cancel culture? It was something even stupider. Oh, the razor company, Harry's Razors. This is not real problems, guys. Ugh. I didn't think that was going to get me so mad because I'm not even a huge Dr. Oz fan, but he's just like a guy doing a job for 2 weeks. They're not going to pick him, okay? They're not going to pick him. If anything, they'd probably pick Katie Couric. And she did a good job, I'm not going to lie. It's a hard job, Jared. I'm not saying it's the hardest job in the world, but...
I would agree.
You got to have a certain something. And I thought Katie did a better job than Dr. Oz. But to sign a petition, it's like lame city population you.
Well, it's... Human nature is to overcome struggles. And let's face it, in the lack of struggle, people are going to find things to... struggle with. Like in the 30s, there was the Depression. You didn't have time to worry about this crap. World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, the 70s, like you didn't have time to worry about all this crap. But things have been relatively easy in America for the past 20 to 30 years. So people are now like focusing on things to find to try and struggle with. And that's what brought us here.
I agree with you to an extent, because I do think the social justice warriors, they want to feel like they're part of something bigger. But it's still not an excuse to behave like this, to be spoiled brats constantly throwing temper tantrums. Join a softball team. You want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Join a little basketball team, or, you know, make a painting, do some arts and crafts.
Go outside, run around, burn off some energy.
Yeah,
drink from a hose.
Paint your house. Learn to bake. Contribute something to society. Plant a tree. But leave Dr. Oz alone, damn it. Leave Dr. Oz alone. At least he's hosting. He's trying. He's out there. He's the man in the arena, dare I say.
I promise no Star Trek, but I said nothing about Star Wars.
Oh, do we have to start putting in like an asterisk on this?
But not that Star Wars. This night, March 23rd in 1983, President Ronald Reagan called upon the scientific community in our country to develop defensive shield to render strategic nuclear ballistic missiles impotent and obsolete.
That's cool.
And that was the beginning of the Star Wars program, as they called it, which... basically never happened. I think maybe Trump might have been trying to incorporate some of that into Space Force. But Star Wars, President Reagan's Star Wars, this day, 1983.
Very cool.
Another this day, I believe it was, yes, 50 years ago today, the Boston Patriots became the New England Patriots.
Ah, that was the day that would live in infamy for Ed Markey.
Yes, a short-lived, I'm trying to remember, I couldn't find it in the article. There was about, I think it was about a two-week span where they changed from the Boston Patriots to the Bay State Patriots.
Ugh.
But they put up on the banner BS Patriots. Oh. And then when they put up the banner, the marketing team was like, all right, hang on a second. We gotta rethink the BS Patriots. So they came up with the idea for the New England Patriots. So 50 years ago today, the New England Patriots, I'm sorry, 50 years ago yesterday, the New England Patriots were born.
Ed Markey's like, it feels like just yesterday.
Yes.
I could have sworn.
Well, he's relatively new to Massachusetts.
That's true. They're new arrivals.
And a little bit heavier, the jury is set for the Derek Chauvin trial. The trial will start Monday.
Okay. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of updates with that.
Yeah. But the trial will begin Monday. The panel includes 15 jurors. 12 will deliberate. There are two alternates. And there's an alternate, which the judge has said they will excuse the 15th juror if, when opening arguments begin, the other jurors are able to serve.
I always find it amazing with these really high-profile trials that they can find people who have no bias or like have not heard anything about it. Those people kind of amaze me.
Especially when they live, you assume they live in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or that area that was around them. Their city was burning around them.
I wonder if they know something about it, but they're just the least biased of the groups. You know, like of let's say they get 50 people in there, they get 12 who are not as invested in the stories as everyone else. But otherwise, like, how do you not know? All right, we good? That was producer's picks. We'll be back on the other side with Howard Lawrence Carr. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I thank you all so much for joining us today. And now it is time for your favorite part of the show, the car crossover. It's brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. You'll know when you take your first sip that some things are worth the wait. Also, Howie, McConnell's Whiskey is sponsoring your studio VIP visits once you return. And the first will be Tuesday, May 4th. To enter for a chance to win a free VIP visit, you can go to HowieCarshow.com, click on the McConnell's Whiskey banner. It's free to enter. And Howie, while I pull one of the winners out of this bucket, why don't you tell people what they'll get if they win a VIP experience?
They get 4 hours in the studio with me. They get to meet you and Taylor and Jared, everybody else. They get a nice meal, which will be brought in. I don't know who it'll be brought in from, but it'll be a good restaurant meal. You'll get autographed books for me, the books that we publish ourselves. And you'll get this gift basket from McConnell's. Altogether, it's worth $400, the entire package. It's a really good deal.
And our winner is... Dun, 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 dun. James C. Interesting.
James C.
It better not be Jim Curley, Dad. You can't enter to win. Congratulations to James C. And now, Howie, I have a few questions for you. One is, what is your take on Kamala cackling when asked if she's going to go to the southern border?
She cackles about everything else. Is anyone really surprised? I mean, again, she is not that much more capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time as Joe Biden is.
I would agree. I actually am always amazed at how they're kind of both on the same level as far as handling, you know, the optics of being in charge. She doesn't really do a much better job. And when he first picked her, everyone kind of thought, oh, she's going to be the one who answers the questions and, you know, handles the press.
Yeah, but she never really did much. I mean, she was never, as Trump loved to point out, she never got above 1% in the polls. She started out really strong. She had this huge rally in Oakland, I think, in the Raiders' old stadium or some big stadium, and people said, "Holy bleep!" But you know, she never really did anything. She was a real non-entity as the district attorney in San Francisco. Then she became attorney general, and she had this real sexual predator working for her. And she's been a disaster wherever she goes. She just fails upwards.
Yeah, and speaking of the crisis at the border, Howie, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a Biden flag that is flying at a Tijuana camp as migrants wait to cross the U.S.-Mexico border. So they're not making this any easier on Biden. They keep showing up with their flags and their T-shirts that say, Biden, please let us in. And Biden just said, oh, yeah, at some point I'm going to go visit the border.
Well, I think the best thing was when it was on Sunday. We didn't have the cut yesterday. I assume we have it today. But where he says that they say, what are you going to do about this? He says, we're going to go back to the old policy.
Yeah.
You mean the one that was a disaster? You're going to go back to that one? You mean you're going to go back to Trump's policy where they remain in Mexico? What was wrong with it? You know, they're either some other country's responsibility. None of them work. None of them have any skills. Why would we want them over here? Let them stay in Mexico. And the other plan, the other part of the plan that Trump's that really worked well was you pay these other countries to stop them from leaving. I mean, the other countries want to get rid of them. They're drains on the economy. I mean, wouldn't the United States like to move the people who aren't working to some other country?
Right, right. And Howie, to your point, the liberals, they keep seeming to want to destroy our country. We talked about this a lot today. But listen to what Trump said to Harris Faulkner on Fox. This is cut three.
They're destroying it with woke. When China looks at woke and they see the biggest problem we have is Dr. Seuss. In the meantime, they're building factories and trying to kill us in so many different ways. They laugh at us. They think we're so... Frankly, they think our country is stupid when they look at this, when our competitors look at what's going on in our country.
And
we have even bigger
wrong.
Problems than Dr. Seuss. We have the problem of Pepe Le Pew.
Right.
It's so Speedy tragic Gonzalez. The way they hopped on Pup.
But Howie, we actually saw that happen where Secretary of State Antony Blinken was talking to China and they said, you know, they were kind of looking at him going, you guys can't tell us what to do. According to you guys, your own country's a mess and you're racist and you have all these issues. So where is your standing in the world?
Where did this guy Blinken come from? He's just some hack who's, you know, went to, you know, with a trust fund who went to some Ivy League college, then got a law degree. And he's been hanging around as a coat holder and a briefer. And a coffee boy for the last 40, 50 years, and now he's the Secretary of State. What the hell are his qualifications? Has this guy ever thrown a punch? Has he ever been in even a pillow fight?
But Howie, you know what I think part of the problem is that a lot of these people would have been fine in the Obama administration, but since Donald Trump was in there for 4 years, he really did expose the swamp and he woke so many people up to what's really happening. So now these people are dealing with real issues and they're over their heads. They can't handle it.
I think I think you make a good point, Grace. I think some of the people who woke up were in China and Russia and Iran and North Korea. And he made these countries realize what wimps these people they had been dealing with were. And how easily they could be rolled.
You don't think they're afraid of Joe Biden when he's saluting those stairs?
You know, is there anyone in that administration that didn't have their little lunch bag stomped on in middle school, that didn't get wedgies, that weren't pushed into the lockers? I mean, where are the tough guys? Where are the average guys in that administration?
Forget tough. We're just going for average.
Exactly.
I know. It really is amazing. And then you have, you know, in certain places like this, there was a story, Howie, out of Virginia, where a woman wanted to do the equity pledge instead of the Pledge of Allegiance. It's frightening. Guys, don't go anywhere. Howie Carr will be back with more. This has been The Grace Curley Show.